Welcome to the Only Strong Tower Bible Podcast with Pastor Trevor B. Jefferson, a podcast dedicated to exploring the timeless wisdom and guidance found within the pages of the Bible. In a world where the challenges of life can often leave us feeling lost and overwhelmed, this podcast seeks to be a beacon of light, providing insights, inspiration, and a deeper understanding of the scriptures. Join us on a journey of spiritual exploration as Pastor Trevor B. Jefferson delves into the profound teachings of the Bible, unraveling its messages of hope, faith, and resilience. Whether you're a longtime believer or someone seeking answers, this podcast is here to accompany you on your quest for spiritual growth and enlightenment.
He says, yea, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death. One thing I'm coming to a conclusion of is that personally, I am going through a wilderness right now. A lot of things I don't understand. On this path, there are lions and tigers. And bears. Those lions and tigers and bears are real. They're not make-believe. Now that's a metaphor. But our situations, our problems are real. The things we run into are real. The children of Israel were hungry. The children of Israel were wanting something to drink. They were thirsty. And they had not learned to trust the Lord. They were going through real situations. And sometimes, if we think about it, we act just like they do. We start complaining. We start blaming other people. Well, if you would have done this and you would have done that. But God is taking us through the wilderness. God is taking us through the wilderness. He is leading us through there. And just as when they got to the end, they noticed that even though they had a few million people to die, the clothes didn't wear out. The shoes didn't wear out. Why? Because God was taking them through. God will take you through. God will take me through. Now, as in the case of Moses, or in the case of Joshua, we may be healed. We may be strong like Caleb and willing to take, ready to take the mountain. But somewhere along the road, we may lose our way like Moses and never make it there. But you know what? Moses had something much greater in store for him. And so many times we look at the temporal. We look at the here and now, and we're focused on that. We're focused on the here and now. And yes, the here and now is calling our attention. And yes, pain hurts and fire burns. But God will take us through. Now, a certain man was sick. Didn't say he was coming down with symptoms. Didn't say he refused to claim it. The word said he was sick, and the evidence is he died from it. A certain man, Lazarus of Bethany. Now, this wasn't just any Lazarus. This was Lazarus of Bethany. Mary, Martha, Lazarus. They're in all four Gospels mentioned. And someone brought it to my attention the other day that you hear, where you read where Mary spoke and where Martha spoke. But Lazarus never said a word verbally. Never said a word. He goes through this. He dies. And this wasn't just any Lazarus. It was the Lazarus, the Bible says, that Jesus loved. So it wasn't because he was out sinning and, you know, he came down with some type of a disease. And as a result, you know, he's just paying the consequences. It was nothing like that. The Bible makes it clear that Jesus loved Lazarus. And, you know, when he found, notice the appeal from Mary and Martha is, behold. That means, take note. Man, this is amazing. Can't you see? Lazarus is sick. And what was Jesus' response? He decided that he wanted to stay another couple of days. Now, he was greater than me. But nonetheless, Lazarus still died. And Lazarus died. And he said, and Christ said, I am glad that I wasn't. Huh? Christ? This guy died. And, you know, like somebody walking up to you, you just had your best friend to die. And someone else, I'm glad he died. You know, there's so much good's going to come out of this. But this is Jesus talking. I'm glad that I wasn't there. You know, Jesus does some strange things according to our thinking. If you remember in the chapter 9 of John, when you have a blind man there. And the thinking was, back then, that if a guy was blind, especially from birth, that it was a consequence of sin. Either the parents sinned or somehow in the womb that he sinned. And Jesus said, no. He was born blind because Jesus wanted to get the glory. You know, if he was not born blind. If he was not born blind. And this is the only case in the Bible where someone is reported to have been born blind. And nobody had ever seen this happen. That somebody was born blind and yet his eyes were opened. And he said, not this man nor his parents, but that he can be glorified. And sometimes God wants to be glorified in our lives, but we're so busy being stuck on ourselves. We're so busy complaining, saying, woe is me. But my God is great. He's great when I'm feeling good, and he's great when I can't even make it to the mailbox. He's great when I'm losing 70 pounds. And nobody knows why. My God is great and he is in charge at all times. He is in charge at all times. There is nothing that can happen to us without it first going through God. Even Job, Satan wanted to destroy him. Matter of fact, Satan won't even think about it. Satan was, what you been doing? I'm going to and fro to just looking over the earth. And God said, have you considered my servant Job? And I can imagine if Job, you know, would have been able to look at it on TV. Huh? Why throw me under the bus? But God is saying to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? And Job went through all of that, even to the place where he wished he had not been born. But in the end, we see that God got his glory. God wants to get the glory out of our life. Now, again, Jesus said, I was glad. Now, I remember Mary at the tomb. Lord, if you've been here, my brother would not have died. She didn't know that well, 2 days ago, Jesus was saying, I was glad I wasn't there. Then Martha comes out. Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. She had no idea that Jesus was, you know, I'm glad I wasn't there. No, because Jesus was a person of real sensitivity. So even though he had said that, and he knew what was going on, he didn't share that with Mary and Martha, and he didn't share that with the weepers. But he'd already said that. I'm glad I wasn't there. And some of us, we desperately want to be delivered from our situation. And we want to get out of it right now. Sometimes I remember when I was younger and I had done something wrong. And one of my parents would decide that they wanted to exercise the Board of Education. And somehow, even before the lessons began to get through, I'm not going to do that anymore. No, I'm not going to do that anymore. We don't want to go through anything. We start crying before we're hurt. Here, Lazarus has died. And even the people that are watching all of this, the wailers, they said, could not this man who have healed the sick and done all these other things, could not this man that kept him from dying? The question is not whether Jesus can keep you from dying. That's not the question. Jesus can keep you from dying. But this life is not all that there is. We have something greater in store, and the Lord is preparing us. Sometimes the Lord allows us to go through things that when we see other people who are going through it or getting ready to go through, we can comfort them with a comfort wherewith we have been comforted. You know, they would have never seen, most of them would have never seen anybody raised from the dead. They would have never seen that dimension of God's power if Lazarus hadn't first died. Paul said, unless a seed goes into the ground and dies, it abides alone. God wants to take us to some places. But in order to go there, we're still in this vehicle called life. We're still in this vehicle called life. We can't appreciate what God is doing for us if he doesn't first get our attention. C.S. Lewis says that pain is God's megaphone. You know, as long as everything is going right, you know, we can, you know, be happy, go lucky, you know, praise the Lord, all those kind of things, trivially. But it's something about going through the valley of the shadow of death. Something about going through the valley of the shadow of death. That when we get to the other side, we realize that God had a better plan all along. Some of us want a testimony. But in order to have a testimony, you've got to go through the test successfully. And as a teacher, when I teach my students, one of the things that I do in order to make sure they know the lessons that I've taught them is I give them a test. And usually, not all of them are successful. So you know what we do? We teach them more. And give them another test. That's the way it is with God. With God, there are no easy tests. You don't say, well, okay, God, I know you got it and everything. So I'm just going to let you have it. You can say I'm going to let God have it. And that's what we should be doing. But what does that mean? When we get in the midst of our test, do we begin to complain or do we begin to praise? There's a song that I learned a long time ago that says, when we're up against a struggle that shatters all our dreams and all our hopes have been cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested schemes, when you feel the urge within you to submit to earthly fears, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He can work through those who praise him. Praise the Lord. And when we get out for ourselves, we can see how God uses us, even in our weakness, even in our impotence, to impact the kingdom of God. Lazarus' testimony was so great that it marked the ending of Christ's ministry. One, they wanted to kill Lazarus again. Two, they couldn't dispute the fact that he was dead and rose. They sought to kill Jesus. And the high priest says, it's better that one die and not the whole nation. You know, Jesus came to earth to seek and to save that which was lost. But in order to be able to do that, he had to live the perfect life. When he was hungry, he had to endure. When he was tired, he was tired. When he was distressed, the Bible says he was distressed. In verse 35, said Jesus wept. When he went, got ready to go to the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was in such heaviness that the Bible says that he sweated as drops of blood. Jesus experienced real things. And on top of that, when it finally came down for the crucifixion, he that had made everything, including the nails that held him on the cross, he endured the shame. He was quiet as a sheep before the shearers. You know, he even said to those people that he had, to God, about those people that he had created and gave the free will to crucify him. He even said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus, in the midst of his pain, in the midst of his turmoil, not because of something he did, but because of our sin, he was still mindful of the people that were around him. He still acted in a godly manner. The Bible says he could have called 10,000 angels, but he didn't, because he knew in order to reign as King and King of Kings and Lord of Lords, in order for us to be able to be reunited with him one day, that he would have to pay the price for sin. He would have to pay the price for sin. And he paid the price for sin. Even on the cross, he was thinking about his mother. On the cross, he took the time to talk to John. Some of us would call that small talk. You know, I'm up here dying for the sins of the world, and I'm taking a moment to think about somebody taking care of my mother. Because Jesus, even though he was going through all that, Jesus remembered the purpose that in which he was going through. He didn't let that distract him from what he was. He felt the real pain, as we feel real pain. But God has deliverance for us. It may be on this side, or it may be on the other. But God is sovereign, and God will bring us through the situation. Amen? Let us pray. God, I thank you, Lord, that you are sovereign. I thank you, Lord, that you bring us through various situations, Lord. not for our glory, but for yours, Lord. God, bless us not to be selfish, but to be submissive, Lord. Realizing that as we endure the test, we will have a testimony. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to another enlightening episode of the Only Strong Tower Bible Podcast with Pastor Trevor B. Jefferson. As we conclude this episode, may the wisdom of the scriptures continue to resonate in your heart and guide you on your journey. Remember, just as a strong tower provides shelter and protection, the lessons from the Bible can serve as a refuge in times of uncertainty. If you found value in today's discussion, don't hesitate to share this podcast with others who might also benefit from its teachings. Stay connected with us for upcoming episodes where we will continue to explore the profound truths that the Bible holds for each and every one of us. Until next time, may you find strength, peace, and unwavering faith in the embrace of the Only Strong Tower.